Hello again. This is Carol Bond returning with the Decatur Herald and Review dated October 18th, 2016. We'll begin this portion of our program with a reading of the obituaries. Robert J. Easterling, 67, of Morton, passed away at 5:48 a.m. Friday, October 14th at Unity Point Health Proctor in Peoria. Cremation rites have been accorded. A private service will be held at a later date. Memorials in his name may be given to American Cancer Society or St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital. Affordable funeral and cremation service is assisting the family with arrangements. Elmer Butch C. Highland, 72, of Decatur, died Sunday, October 16th, in his home. Funeral services will be 12 p.m. Thursday, October 20th, at Brintlinger and Earl Funeral Home, with visitation beginning at 10 a.m. until service time. Burial will be in Macon County Memorial Park, Harristown. Military rites will be conducted by Macon County Honor Guard. Memorials may be made to the Shriners Children's Hospital or St. Jude's Children's Hospital. Ronald O. Cornwald, 78, of Mount Zion, Illinois, passed away in his residence at 10:10 a.m. Sunday, October 16th. A service to celebrate Ron's life will be held at 10 a.m. Thursday, October 20th at Dawson and Wyckoff Funeral Home, Mount Zion. Burial will be in the Mount Zion Township Cemetery. The family will receive friends for visitation on Wednesday evening from 5 p.m. until 7 at the funeral home. Memorials may be made to the Decatur and Macon County Animal Shelter Foundation. James Michael Mike Seagraves, 49, of Decatur, passed away at 1:22 p.m. Friday, October 14th, at his home. There will be no services or visitation. Palmer Funeral Home, Geisinger Chapel, and South Lawn Cremation Services, South Bend, is assisting the family. Wilma Faye Zinn, 75, of Decatur, died Sunday, October 16th, in her home. Graveside services will be 11 a.m. Thursday, October 20th, at Boiling Springs Cemetery, Decatur. Brintlinger and Earl Funeral Home is handling the arrangement. That concludes the reading of our obituaries. We turn now to an article coming from Millikan University. It has to do with sports, but it's actually much more than that. The headline reads, Millikan to look at anthem policy. It was written by Aaron Dow, and the dateline is Decatur. After a team decision to stay in the locker room for Saturday's game against Augustana, one Millikan football player stood on the sideline for the national anthem. Connor Brewer, an offensive lineman from Rochester, stood alone on Millikan's sidelines during the anthem, sprinting back to the locker room after it finished. Millikan assistant athletic director Brian Marshall said Brewer later told Millikan president Patrick White he felt compelled to stand for the anthem. Quote, he told him he did what he felt like he needed to do, Marshall said. Brewer was on the field for warm-ups with the rest of the Millikan football team, but stayed as the team went back to the locker room. Marshall said Brewer's decision partly stemmed from a military background in his family, and Marshall said the university supports Brewer's decision to stand. Various attempts to contact Brewer were not successful. Marshall said Brewer told White he did not want to speak about his action. Several football players were contacted, but had been asked by the coaching staff not to talk to media. A few made brief comments about the nearly week-long controversy before declining to say anything further. Quote, I really think it's been a big misunderstanding, lineman Travis Govea said. I think a lot of people are taking it the wrong way. We're one unit. We're brothers, 100%, wide receiver Gerald Perry added. The decision to remain in the locker room, which was determined by a team vote, will likely be addressed again, Marshall said. Staying in the locker room has drawn the ire of alumni and others, many saying the actions are disrespectful to the flag, while others are saying the athlete's free speech is being stifled. The decision came after a few Millikan football players took a knee during the anthem in the game against North Central on September 24th. Gritty then talked with the team about the best way to handle it moving forward, and the team consensus was to stay in the locker room, an action common with college football programs. Millikan did not practice on Monday, an off day. Brewer, a sophomore, is a starting lineman for the Big Blue. Well, it's time we find out what Gene Phillips readers are writing to Abby. Here's the first letter. Dear Abby, I moved to a new state 2 years ago, mostly because I had a friend who lived here part-time. I have distanced myself from many of the people she has introduced me to because they all talk about each other behind their backs. They also don't work many hours and start drinking very early in the day. The other night, I had my friend and her husband over for dinner with my boyfriend and me. For most of the night, she was on the phone, Facebooking, and texting pictures of my dinner table to people I don't bother with. There was absolutely no conversation between the two of us that night. When I said something about her being on the phone, her answer was that she was answering her Facebook messages. I found it extremely rude. Because I have distanced myself from others around here, I'm not sure if I should say anything to her, because if I do, it will mean I won't have any friends around at all. What do you think? Signed, Afterthought in Florida. Dear Afterthought, birds of a feather flock together. You made a huge mistake giving up your old life to follow this friend who appears to not only lack basic manners, but also to be indifferent to your feelings. It's time to either start making new friends with people who think and act more like you do, or return where you came from so you can be with folks with whom you have more in common. Here's the next letter. Dear Abby, I am a happily divorced mother of two and have a wonderful life. I have a great relationship with my ex. He's a wonderful father, and I'm grateful for that. We never fight, and I always try to keep the peace. He is remarried to a lovely woman and has another child with her, an adorable little boy. I consider him to be my children's brother and make sure to buy him birthday and holiday gifts. I ask my children which milestones he has conquered and FaceTime with him, too. I'm writing because my grandmother, whom I love dearly, thinks I am not being nice and that I should go inside when I pick up my children and visit with the baby. She constantly asks me what my ex and his wife are doing. I always tell her I have no idea, and that is not my business. I respect and want boundaries. I want to raise our children together and see them at our children's events, birthdays, etc. How can I get my grandma to understand that I'm in a good place and glad that my ex is too? I'm not interested in knowing where he is every second. Grandma is a very tough, strong, wonderful lady who loves your column. Signed, Moved On in the South. Dear Moved On, you seem like a healthy, well-adjusted woman. Point out to your grandmother that the good relationship you enjoy with your ex and his wife is based on the fact that you don't ask questions or meddle in their lives. Suggest that if grandma wants to know how they are and what they're doing, that she pick up a phone and ask them herself. That way, the person they will avoid they will be her and not you. Repeat that message as needed. If you like tomatoes, you might like this headline story, Tomatoes Can Lose Flavor in Fridge. Actually, the dateline is New York. If you buy tomatoes from John Bancher at his farm stand in New Jersey, he'll recommend keeping them out of the fridge or they'll lose some of their taste. Now scientists have figured out why. It's because some of their genes chill out, says a study that may help solve that problem. Cooling tomatoes below 54 degrees stops them from making some of the substances that contribute to their taste, according to researchers who dug into the genetic roots of the problem. That robs the fruit of flavor, whether it happens in a home refrigerator or in cold storage before the produce reaches the grocery shelf, they said. With the new detailed knowledge of how that happens, quote, maybe we can breed tomatoes to change that, said researcher Denise Tiemann of the University of Florida in Gainesville. She and colleagues there in China and at Cornell in Ithaca report their findings in a paper published Monday by the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. They showed that after 7 days of storage at 39 degrees, tomatoes lost some of their supply of substances that produce their characteristic aroma, which is a key part of their flavor. 3 days of sitting at room temperature didn't remedy that, and a taste test by 76 people confirmed the chilled tomatoes weren't as good as fresh fruit. Tomatoes stored for just 1 or 3 days didn't lose their aroma substances. Further research showed that the prolonged chilling reduced the activity of certain genes that make those compounds. Let's move on now and take a look at the Decatur Tribune and find out what Paul Osborne, editor, is writing about in City Beat, his column. The first subtitle in the column is, Last Week Was Simply an Amazing Time for Our Community. Last week was one of the best overall weeks that we've seen in Decatur in a long time, and many of us are still basking in the afterglow. There's always a lot of great things happening in our community, which usually go unnoticed by many residents, but it was impossible not to be aware of the significance of several good news stories that came into sharp focus. First, I have to mention the incredible 15th annual WSOY Community Food Drive, which has become legendary in focusing on the generosity of area residents in helping those in need. Last Friday, in the parking lot of the East Kroger store, over $1.4 million in pounds, actually, and dollars, were collected during the day-long event, and the official total has not been tallied as we're going to press, which means it will be much more than that amount. It was another record. Last year's amount was $1.27 million, and this year's generosity grows every year, just as the need continues to grow. I've been out to the food drive every year since it started, and each year I've been amazed at how much is contributed. I'm not amazed anymore. I am astounded. I don't think I have to inform you that I love this community, especially because of the goodness, generosity, and compassion of our people. The good the food drive does goes far beyond the obvious in helping our less fortunate residents get back on their feet. The caring nature of it impacts those lives and our own far more than any of us can imagine, although we constantly hear personal stories from people who have been helped and have gone on to help others. Big thanks to Newhoff Media, WSOY's Brian Byers, Kevin Brahaney, John Skeffington, and so many more who have given so much in this effort over the years. Naming all people and businesses is a list too long to be contained in this column. Members of the local media do a lot of good work for the community, but I can't imagine anything with greater impact on area residents than the WSOY Community Food Drive. We all stand a little taller when we experience it each year. If the success of the food drive was all that happened last week, it would have still been a great week. But Friday's effort capped off an entire week of great accomplishments, great announcements, pardon me. As published in last week's edition, thanks to a $3.9 million gift from the Howard G. Buffett Foundation, a new amphitheater at Lakeshore Landing in Nelson Park will soon be constructed in partnership with the Decatur Park District and City of Decatur. For over 35 years, enhancement of the Nelson Park Basin of Lake Decatur has been identified as a community priority. Buffett wasn't finished. He will also provide $1.9 million for expansion of the train route at Scoville Zoo to include the Children's Museum of Illinois. Buffett still wasn't finished. He also agreed to buy a new train engine to pull passengers. The new locomotive will cost $195,800. It will replace the current engine Scoville Zoo acquired from the St. Louis Zoo in 1996. I can't begin to explain how much all of this means to the Decatur area. It also means that Buffett sees Decatur as having potential and a future, or he wouldn't be contributing funds to do the work announced last week. These funds could have gone to a ton of other communities, but he chose Decatur. That is significant. There's more good news. Good news for Decatur and the area just kept coming last week. Fuyao Glass, 2778 East Elmwood Road, celebrated the grand opening of its plant with two production lines. 2 years ago, the Fuyao Glass Group purchased the former PPG plant with plans to spend $200 million to upgrade the facility. That work is finished, and that's what all of the excitement was about at the grand opening last week. The most exciting part is the expected 250 to 300 additional jobs that have been created through the plant's new operation. All of this takes your breath away, doesn't it? During Thursday's Community Leaders Breakfast, Mayor Julie Moore Wolf was one of the speakers, and there was a lot of positive news about what's happening in our city. Over the years I served as mayor, I gave a lot of speeches about Decatur at a lot of places, including the Community Leaders Breakfast. But I can't remember a time when there was so many positive events happening the week of the speech than what happened last week. I'm sure that was a very enjoyable speech for her to give and very uplifting for those who believe and love Decatur. Plus, there's a lot of other positive news to talk about. Julie and I were on WSOY at the same time Friday morning during the community food drive, and before we went on the air, she asked, "Now what do we do next week?" She was a little tired, but with the kind of tired that happens when a lot of exciting things are happening around you. Quote, "I may rest up a little this weekend." I can tell you from firsthand experience, every mayor has weeks that go well and some weeks that don't go well. For Mayor Julie Moore Wolf and our community, the past week was in another category. A great week to be a mayor. An advertising salesman who worked for me at the newspaper many years ago would always say when something positive happened at the Tribune, quote, "This is strutting stuff." Last week, Decatur experienced some real strutting stuff, and I couldn't be more pleased. Turn now to the September issue of the AARP Bulletin for some interesting articles. The first one is entitled, "Who's That Knocking?" In autumn, deception goes door to door, don't fall for it. September heralds the end of summer, bringing cool, crisp weather and con artists on your front step. With elections drawing near, expect campaign workers to show up at your door along with pollsters and people offering to update your voter registration. Legitimate canvassers will leave behind literature or donation and registration forms that you can mail. Real pollsters won't delve deeper than your opinions of candidates and issues. Never provide your social security number, income level, birth date, or hometown. It's all useful info for identity thieves. Don't allow entry to unexpected utility employees who say they need to inspect your furnace or water heater. Utility companies don't dispatch workers to go inside your home without first notifying you. Assume that unsolicited offers for a free energy audit will lead to a hard sell for possibly unnecessary but expensive improvements. Stick with programs offered through your utility provider by appointment, and never pay a utility worker for a house call. The company will build you. With school back in session, local kids may go door-to-door to raise money for team uniforms or school-sponsored charities. Support those you recognize. Strangers could be scammers or employees of crooked vendors seeking cash, checks, or credit card numbers. Beware of charities you've never heard of claiming to raise money for victims of a recent disaster, wounded vets, police and fire departments, or sick kids. Watch out for couriers who arrive with an unexpected package. In one growing scheme, they show up unannounced or following a phone call about a supposed package and ask for a nominal verification fee paid with a credit card in order to receive the item. That was written by someone named Sid Kirchheimer. Moving on, keep your brain young by staying fit. Sudoku, crossword puzzles, computer training. Half of Americans believe these games and mental tasks keep their brains healthy, according to a 2014 AARP survey. But there is little evidence that they do. If you really want to retain mental clarity and improve your odds of staving off dementia, researchers say, hit the gym. In the past decade, scientists have begun to understand the crucial relationship between exercise and brain power. Just as exercise helps keep muscles strong, blood vessels flexible, and stress low, it also enhances mental abilities, stops brain shrinkage, and promotes the formation of new neurons. Studies even suggest that people who are physically active, quote, have lower rates of Alzheimer's and other age-associated neurodegenerative disorders, says Arthur F. Kramer, Senior Vice Provost for Research and Graduate Education at Northeastern University in Boston and an expert on exercise and the brain. As we age, the hippocampus, an area of our brains that is key to memory, shrinks, leading to memory problems and possibly dementia. Research by Kramer and others showed that when previously sedentary men and women, 50 to 80 years old, walked around a track 40 minutes a day, 3 times a week for 6 months, their hippocampi actually increased in size. A control group that did not walk had smaller hippocampi than when they started. Another study of nearly 900 men and women with an average age of 71 found that those who had exercised moderately or vigorously over 5 years, jogging, hiking, swimming, dancing, performed on a par with someone a decade younger on tests of memory and other brain skills. These studies support the prevailing theory that heart health and brain health are linked. Regular exercise helps prevent high blood pressure and stiffening of the arteries, and keeping blood vessels healthy ensures an optimal flow of blood to the brain. In addition, aerobic exercise creates higher levels of a protein known as brain-derived neurotrophic factor, or BDNF, which helps repair and protect the brain, explains one researcher. And strength training seems to help by sending pulses of blood into your brain, says another. She conducted a study that found that women who did moderate strength training at least once a week showed a 15% improvement on mental skills tests. So what does all this mean for those concerned about developing Alzheimer's? A study of 876 men and women aged 65 or older found that those who were more active had a 50% reduced risk of developing the disease. Another researcher recommends exercise as part of a whole healthy lifestyle. As long as the result is a healthy brain, it doesn't matter if it was the exercise or the diet or the whole package. This has been Carol Bond with the Decatur Herald and Review, dated October 18, 2016, and also the Decatur Tribune. I look forward very much to reading with you again next week.